is going to make their return to KOL tomorrow. Emory will travel on the road to meet the Union Cougars. That's a very fun game. We'll talk more about this next segment. Two teams that I think could actually really make a run, and a deep run, come state tournament time. I'm looking forward to that game. Early start time, 5:30. That contest will get underway, which means it'll get over at about 7 o'clock. High school basketball games do not last very long. We're going to talk about that and more coming up here in just a bit. Also on the show today, we got to talk more college football. We didn't get a big opportunity to dive into college football yesterday. We talked a lot about the Utah Utes and their season-ending win over West Virginia. We'll try to talk a little bit more more college football outside of the Utah Utes. That's coming up in just a bit. Did you watch the Texas Bowl last night?
No.
Did you care about the Texas Bowl?
I didn't.
Okay, so if I tell you anything about the Texas Bowl, you're not going to... You don't already know what I'm about to tell you about the punter from last night, right?
I did see that the punter was the MVP because I was sitting around today and I was like, the punter won the MVP in the Texas Bowl. That's all I know.
But he deserved it. Like, he rightfully deserved it. Michael Dixon, and guess what? He's so good. Michael Dixon is so good that he is leaving college early to go to the NFL. A punter is going to leave after his junior campaign to go pro. He won the MVP and he deserved it. He punted 11 times last night. 10 of those 11 were down inside the 15-yard line. He had no touchbacks and 11 punts. Boomed a 58-yarder. He deserved the MVP.
It's incredible how you said that. Out of those punts, not one touchback.
And, not one touchback.
And he's a junior and he's leaving early for the NFL as a punter.
And even after the game, Missouri head coach Barry Odom said he's never seen a punter play like that.
Awesome.
Tom Herman says after the game, I've never seen a punter affect the game the way he did tonight, and I'm glad he's on our team. Yeah, because without him, Texas probably doesn't win that game. Did you know it's the first time? I thought for sure when they named Dixon the MVP, because I watched this game, I thought for sure he was the first punter to win MVP of a bowl game. Like, I couldn't imagine this happening
more than once, yeah.
But it did. In 2008, Graham Gano, who was the place kicker and the punter for Florida State, he won the game MVP as well. So it's every 9 years this has happened.
Punters are people, too.
Yep. Johnny Hecker started that trend, and I'll tell you, it was fun to watch this kid. The fact is, he punted for 427 yards. That's what he accumulated last night off his leg.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Nah, he deserved it. He absolutely deserved it. Just one of those performances, and typically you'll find one of those, I think, every college football season. If you watch enough of these bowl games, you know, the unsung hero. And Dixon said after the game, as they were walking him up to give him the MVP, he had to ask like three or four times, why are you walking me up here? Because you won the MVP. He said, I thought they had the wrong guy. No, they had the right guy, and now he's going to go pro. Does he get drafted?
Yeah, I think somebody takes a chance on him.
Fifth, sixth, seventh
round.
Yeah,
one of those rounds.
He's
there's a lot of bad punters in the league.
He's going to get drafted, and he's the MVP. A punter was the MVP of that game. I thought it was a cool story, really. I think it's one of the more interesting things that have happened so far this bowl season. Let's take a look at some of the other college football scores from around, because, again, you have bowl games going on all day. The Camping World Bowl, which features VaTech and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, this team was in contention to get into the Final Four for more than half the season, and now they're playing a bowl game in the middle of the day on December 28th, a Thursday.
Yeah, the only intrigue in that game that I have is Mason Rudolph, who's a quarterback. If you go by the rankings, he's the sixth-rated quarterback coming out of the draft class.
Yeah, 5 of 8 for 60 yards so far in that game. VaTech leads Oklahoma State 7-3. That one is in the second quarter. Again, that's the Camping World Bowl. Final from earlier today, Navy caps off a pretty successful season. They go 5-1 at home this year, 7-6 overall, now that they have beat Virginia by a final score of 49-7. In that game, Kurt Benkert, quarterback for Virginia, he was the lead. This is a testament. Again, it's Navy. They're going to beat you. They're so hard to prepare for. Benkert threw for 145 yards. No touchdowns and one interception. Zach Abbey, the quarterback for Navy, want to guess what his stat line was?
0-for-1.
He didn't even... good job. 0-for-1. Did not complete a pass in this game.
And they won the game.
And they won the game because Malcolm Perry ran for 114 yards on the ground. Chris High ran for 101. Virginia finishes with a losing record at 6-7. And this is a really interesting football team, I think, front to back, because, of course, BYU fans pay attention to Virginia now, don't they?
Bronco, yeah.
They pay attention to Bronco. I think this was a very very solid year coaching for Bronco Mendenhall, considering that Virginia was pegged as being one of the worst teams in the country. They were bowl eligible. That was a success story for Virginia this season. I'm sure you would like it to end a little bit better than a 49-7 drubbing at the hands of Navy. I like that style of football. I really do. It's funny, I was having this conversation with my cousin over the weekend. He was down for the holidays, and we were talking about the video games we used to play as a kid. And he brought up the fact that he hated playing football games with me because I had three plays. Run to the left, run to the right, run up the middle. That's my style of football. I love to run the football. That's why I'm entertained by Navy. I'm entertained by that. The fact that they won this game 49-7 and did not complete a single pass, that's awesome.
Yeah, 16 carries, 114, 19 carries, 101, 13 carries, 88. Then you got 5 for 47, 5 for 40. You just pound the rock all day long.
Well, Abby did not complete a pass, quarterback for Navy, but let's not forget, he did run 5 touchdowns in this game. He had 5 rushing scores in this game. His touchdown to interception ratio for the season, by the way, 0. 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Yeah, Virginia knew that this team wasn't going to really throw the ball, still couldn't stop the run.
It's hard to prepare for Navy.
Yeah, it
really
is.
It really is. I mean,
tricky.
It is. And in the middle of the season, you see teams that will play Navy. And to me, it's you're setting yourself up for a disaster if you play Navy on Saturday and then you're going up against a rival or a top 10 team the following week, because two things are guaranteed. One, it's going to take you at least 2 quarters to adjust to what Nia Mottolola wants to do. Okay, so you're going to be in a dogfight with Navy for at least 30 minutes of that game. And you're guaranteed an injury or two.
Because it's a lot out of you.
Well, it does, and cut blocking is legal in college football. I wish they'd go away from that rule. I hate cut blocks, but it's legal, and because of it, you are guaranteed to have an injury.
Yep.
Those are two things that are three things in life: death, taxes, and an injury against Navy. It's going to happen. So, yeah, they're a tough team to prepare for. Let's take a look at what we have going on tonight in the world of college football. We still have a couple of other games that I think are going to be fairly interesting as we can bring these up and take a look at them. I know coming up New Year's Day right around the corner, we have some massive bowl games, such as, I'm looking forward to the Citrus Bowl, obviously, but tonight we get Stanford TCU at the Alamo Bowl.
That's not a bad matchup.
No, not a bad matchup at all. Kenny Hill for TCU, to me, that's the most intriguing player in this game, although I do love watching some Bryce Love. TCU is favored by 3. I believe Bryce Love is going to play tonight.
Should play, yeah, all indications he will.
And then we get Washington State, Michigan State. I think that's a fun game as well. That's going to be in the Holiday Bowl. Washington State with Mike Leach, they made some waves, 9-3. Michigan State, they're a pretty good football team. Everyone was trending really high on Michigan State, and then they ran into the buzzsaw of Ohio State and got humiliated, and that was kind of the end of the Michigan State story. Plus, they were blown out by Notre Dame at home. Luke Falk in this game, pay attention to this guy. I like him an awful lot. We have some other intriguing matchups coming up in the coming days as far as college football. Now the bowl games are getting to the point to where they're well-known commodities. We're talking about teams that you are well aware of. I mean, tomorrow we get Wake Forest and Texas A&M. See, these are Power 5 schools, NC State, Arizona State. We get Kentucky and Northwestern. Utah State actually plays tomorrow in the Arizona Bowl. But then you get USC and Ohio State. Boy, that game's tomorrow night, isn't it?
Tomorrow night, the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's coming up. It's the major, the massive time for college football. Let's talk about some of the other things that are happening in the national scene. Last night, the Utah Jazz suffer a loss at the hands of the Golden State Warriors. They suffer it in a major way. I don't ever really look at a team and say, boy, they're playing bad basketball. Look, they lost to Golden State by 25, but the Jazz did not look very good last night. I don't know if you watched this game or not. And again, Golden State makes anyone look pretty average. Rodney Hood played well. He shot the ball well. Utah had a lead at the end of the first quarter. It was, if I'm remembering correctly, Golden State was up by 1 at halftime, and then Utah just fell to pieces in the third quarter when Golden State dropped 42 points. Big third quarter leads Golden State to a win. But more importantly, taking a look at the Jazz and their struggles as of late, again, they're chasing down the Pelicans and the Blazers at this point. Now they are four games back of Portland, and the Jazz have lost 8 out of their last 10 games. 3-15 on the road.
Yeah, back-to-back with Denver and Golden State doesn't help matters, especially for a team that really struggles on the road. And you see in that third quarter, I think they just ran out of gas coming out of the halftime.
I saw an interesting conversation that you had over the weekend, and it was someone saying that the Jazz should use Rodney Hood out of ISO on nearly every possession, and you disagree with that heavily.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that. Not with Rodney Hood. Rodney Hood has to be your guy, but you cannot just let this guy run ISOs up and down. You're going to tire him out. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's, I still think, is their best offensive weapon.
He is.
So,
he
yeah,
is.
That's ridiculous to say that.
I can admit that Donovan Mitchell is their best offensive weapon, and you know how big of a Rodney Hood guy I am.
Yeah, coming it's up, Donovan Mitchell. You just can't run ISOs with Rodney Hood every time.
They have some problems offensively, though.
They're just not very good offensively, and we knew that.
Yeah, I guess that's what it boils down to. Let's take a look at the schedule tonight in the NBA. We have about five games. That's it tonight. Detroit will travel to take on Orlando. That's at 5 o'clock. We get Houston at Boston in the 6 o'clock hour, as well as Minnesota at Milwaukee. 6:30 tonight, the Knicks travel on the road to meet the Spurs, and the Blazers play host to Philly in the nightcap. That game's on TNT. 8:30 start time there. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to be joined by Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Sporting Boys Basketball Squad. We'll preview tomorrow night's game against Union. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
You got Big Dave here with Justin Kennedy from the Auto Farm Price Auto Group. Justin, it's time to start talking about a new dealership in town, is it not?
Yeah, we are open for business at the new store over on 811 Westwood Boulevard. We are open for business, service, parts, sales. If you're in the market for a vehicle, you need your car serviced, you got a breakdown, don't forget about the brand new dealership, Auto Farm Price Ford, 811 Westwood Boulevard, right off Highway 6. Please come down and see us. We'll be having a grand opening soon.
For over 50 years, News Talk KOAL's Barter Bar has helped listeners buy, sell, and trade from everyday common items to the unusual. You'll hear it on Barter Bar. Holding a yard sale? Looking for furniture? Or want to trade your car? Put it on Barter Bar, online and on air. Barter Bar, a Castle Country tradition. Weekday mornings at 9:30 on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Christmas break came to an end for the USU Eastern men and women basketball programs yesterday, as both participated in preseason tournaments. And we begin on the women's side of the court. The Lady Eagles were in Las Vegas, and they rolled to a 71-48 victory over Treasure Valley Community College. The Lady Eagles held a 37-28 lead at the end of the first half, but they pulled away by outscoring Treasure Valley 16-2 in the third quarter. The fourth quarter was a mere formality. The Lady Eagles were led by Brooklyn Barris. The freshman knocked down 9 of 16 shots from the field, including 7 from deep, to finish with a game-high 25 points. Caitlin Tolono finished with 14, and Autumn Kay chipped in with 12. Now, yesterday's matchup is the first of three consecutive games in Las Vegas. The second will take place tonight at 5:30 p.m. as the Lady Eagles take on Lake Region State. The weekend will come to an end tomorrow morning against Grand Canyon University. Now, we stick with junior college basketball, but we move over to the men's side of the court. And yesterday, the men were in Tucson, Arizona, where they will continue for the next 3 days. But they started off on a positive note, defeating Just Hoops Prep by a final score of 101-55. And with yesterday's game in the rear view, the Eagles will take on Pima Community College tonight at 5 p.m. They'll take on Macomb Community College at 1 tomorrow, and then they'll wrap up the weekend road trip to Arizona with a contest on Saturday against Bismarck State. These four games will represent the final four non-league games of the 2017-2018 season. On January 6th, the Eagles will open up conference play against Salt Lake Community College. We shift over to high school basketball, and today the Carbon Dino Boys Squad will look to get back on the winning track as they take on Canyon View in Cedar City at the Steve Hodson Cancer Classic. The Dinos are currently 2-1 in region play. Most recently, they suffered a loss to the Delta Rabbits. That was on December 20th as they went into the Christmas break. Following today's contest, which is scheduled for 8:30 p.m. tonight, the Dinos will return to the court tomorrow afternoon against South Sevier, also in Cedar City, at 12:30 p.m., and then they will wrap up the weekend against Panguitch. That'll be at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Following the completion of the weekend tournament in Cedar City, the Dinos will start up Region 14 play once again on Friday, January 5th, on the road against Macer Prep. We stick with high school sports, but we move over to wrestling, where today the Emory Spartans will participate in their first meet since December 20th as they travel on the road to meet the highly regarded Delta Rabbits. Now, the Spartans have had a great season so far on the wrestling mats. Recently, we caught up with Coach Kurt Christiansen, who talked about the next stretch of his team as we head into the final month of the wrestling season.
Putting team points on the board with the way these guys are wrestling and pinning and stuff, we've got a real shot to be, you know, top five in the state. We moved some guys around a little bit, those guys that are been working on getting their weight plans down.
Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will bring you the results from today's meet as soon as they become available. And we end by moving over to the national sports scene, where last night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, a 26-point effort from Rodney Hood was not enough as the Utah Jazz dropped a contest to the Golden State Warriors 126-101. The loss moves Utah to 15-21 on the season. They'll return to the court on December 30th. That'll be on Saturday as they take on the Cleveland Cavaliers at home. You will be able to listen to that game on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874 at 613-7874.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
With winter just around the corner, golfing is one sport that just doesn't come to mind. But at TK's Pro Shop, winter is the perfect time to stock up on clearance items to get you ready for spring. Just because you can't golf doesn't mean you can't be ready to. Stop into TK's Pro Shop at the Carvin Country Club.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
First edition of the Coach's Corner this week on Drive Time Sports. Try to get acclimated to the dead time in between Christmas and New Year's, which isn't nearly as bad as the week leading up to Christmas. In fact, tomorrow, high school basketball makes its return to KOAL. The Emory Spartans will be on the road taking on the Union Cougars. Different start time in this game. It'll be set at 5:30. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Spartan basketball team. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Definitely, Coach. We're now past Christmas. First off, did you have a great Christmas? Was it a needed break?
Oh, yeah, it was. You know, I think our guys need a little time away, and they're still excited to play. We've been in the gym the last couple of days, and it's just been, you know, our guys like to play. They enjoy being there, but it's also good to have a little break. You know, in high school sports, basketball season's the longest season. I mean, it covers practically 4 months, if not a little bit more sometimes, and for most of these kids, they need a little break in the middle, and Christmas just comes at a perfect time for that.
Yeah, definitely. And now we go into the, I guess we could call it the second half of the season, because we're getting down to it as far as the non-region schedule goes. That brings us to Friday's contest, a game against Union on the road. And, Coach, one thing that's definitely been obvious, the non-region schedule for Emory has been pretty good so far this season. I mean, the win over Grantsville on December 20th, South Summit, of course, the rivalry game with Carbon. We've talked about Morgan and Dixie and now Union. I mean, that's a pretty stiff non-region schedule.
Well, it is, and I'm really proud of our guys. I thought we really battled through some tough games, and the only disappointing preseason games that I've felt like we've had were those two at the Richfield tournament against Morgan and Dixie, and neither game I thought we really played hard. You know, we didn't shoot the ball very well either time either, but we just didn't. Even more than that, I didn't think we played real hard. We just kind of went through the motions and were maybe back on our heels a little bit. And that's the only time this preseason that I've seen that. Every other time we've given it an effort and we've played hard, and that's the most I can say for our guys is that we have played hard, and that's a big compliment to them.
The most recent contest, I mentioned Grantsville, 76-67 win. That's a pretty good basketball team. Grantsville's good, I think, across the board, whatever sport we're talking about. That's a big win for you guys, and you go on the road to get it nonetheless, Coach. But one of the things that stood out to me in going back and watching the replay of that game, you guys have played particularly well in the third quarter this year. It seems in wins, especially against good competition, you guys have kind of shined in the third quarter. Is there any reasoning behind that?
Well, I really don't know. I just kind of the way it works. I think at Grantsville in particular, Cade Braze really gave us a boost. I think he hit three or four threes in as many tries early in that third quarter. And it's kind of funny. The way we play is a little bit dangerous to play, but it's fun, and it's really fun when somebody gets hot and makes a few threes in a row, because you kind of look the look of desperation on the other team's faces. You know, Grantsville, they mix their defenses up as well as anybody will play all year, and they threw everything at us. They tried to press, they tried a man, they tried two or three zones, and just everything that they threw at us, we kind of had an answer for, and it was kind of devastating and the look on their face to see, well, what do we do here now? You know, that was kind of fun to watch. But, the third quarter against Grantsville, I give a lot of credit to Cade.
You know, over the last four games, I think you guys are averaging something around 26, 27 points in that third quarter. It's been the difference maker. I mean, it really has. But you mentioned Cade Brazier. This is a kid that it seems from the broadcast booth, at least, Coach, that he has confidence when he's shooting the ball. It doesn't matter if he's missed his last two or he's made his last two. It seems like he has the confidence, which I'm sure as a head coach you love.
Oh, exactly. I think, he and Ty Butler both have that great shooter's mentality. They don't seem to have a conscience, and they really leave misses behind them and really looking forward to the next shot. And for good shooters, I think throughout they have that kind of an attitude where they are just willing to crank that next one up regardless of the results of the last one or the last 10 or whatever. And both those kids really, they really have that good shooter's mentality, and it's shown so far this year for them.
What do you try to tell the kids as you go into the Christmas break? I mean, you get 9 days off between game action. Obviously, it was a positive to beat Grantsville before you go into that break. So what's your message to the team as you say goodbye to them for a few days during that moratorium?
I just told them to go enjoy their time off. I said, don't leave it completely alone. We can't do anything, team-wise or practice-wise, but individually they can do everything. And I know just from talking to the kids, they've gotten together two or three times over the break and just played some pickup ball and kept their their mind on it a little bit. But I think it's important to get away, but it's also important to maintain that physical shape. I think guys work so hard for a month and a half getting into physical shape, and it's amazing how quickly it can go away. You take five straight days off and eat all the Christmas candy and turkey and everything that goes on around Christmas, and it goes away in a hurry. And so I was pleasantly surprised yesterday when we got in the gym, because it didn't look like we were really lethargic or anything. We were getting after it pretty good and looked like we had our wind maintained pretty well. So that's a credit to our guys to doing something over the break.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Sport and Boys Basketball Team. Coach, if we go back and we look at the non-region schedule up to this point, you guys have played a lot of 3A competition, and it's the first year for this new division, these new classifications. All in all, you guys have scored wins over Carbon, Mesa Prep, South Summit, and Grantsville. These are four teams that we could see again, not to mention the win over Delta earlier on in the season. What's your take on the 3A classification now that we've kind of gotten a feel for what the competition is going to be?
Well, the one thing that's really, stood out to me is that I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite anywhere. I think it's there's seven or eight teams that legitimately have a chance at all of it. And if we're shooting the ball, I think we can include ourselves in that top tier of teams. And it's wide open as far as I'm concerned. There's a lot of teams that are really solid, and and no clear-cut favorite. I don't see anybody that's just established control over saying we're the team to beat, and so should be interesting going into this league play.
Definitely. And now we get Union. This game will take place again Friday night. Emory Union going on the road. You and I were talking a bit about this off of the cuff. And you mentioned Union's gym, how it does give them kind of a distinct advantage. It's a tough place to go on the road and play.
It is, you know. Some gyms really seem to have that extra advantage for the home team, and that's one of them. We've taken really good teams out there and not struggled, but, you know, it's been a battle. And I think the team 2 years ago that we had that, you know, had was a 20-win team. We went out there and got beat on a last-second shot against a team that I thought was inferior. But that's just the way things go in some gyms. And so it'll be interesting tomorrow. They've moved the game times up, I guess, just for the holiday situation. But, you know, the varsity game's a 5:30 start, I believe, is what it is. And so, you know, that can have a little bit of a weird effect on guys, too. They're used to playing a little bit later. So we'll see how we handle that. You know, it's a good thing to do for us because those state tournament games often get mixed up in different game times. So it's good to be prepared for that a little bit.
Union's an interesting team. They're perfect in region play right now with 3-0, and they're only giving up, I think, something along the lines of 50 points a game, 48 points a game, something like that along the lines of region play. But, Coach, offensively, they have one kid that handles the majority of it. I mean, John Parker's averaging about 22 points a game. After that, you got to go all the way down to Ty Gilman, who's not quite averaging double figures yet. They have one kid that really pushes this team offensively.
Well, and that fits into our defensive scheme a little bit. We've done a fairly decent job throughout the preseason as far as making it difficult on the team's best player. Obviously, we didn't against Grantsville. That kid got us for 35 points, and we didn't do a very good job with him. But our guys can adjust a little bit. They're comfortable enough in our defense to take some of that stuff away that the other teams are throwing at us. And I think, you know, we'll have a chance to do something with him tomorrow night.
Now that we get to the final non-region game of the season, Coach, anything change in your mind? Is there any maybe more urgency in some aspects of the game where you say, okay, we got to get moving in this particular field, or are you just happy with the way things are right now?
Well, I'm pretty happy offensively. I think we've done an incredible job. We've gotten our shots off against some good defenses, and offensively I think we're just exactly where we want to be. We're really breaking people down. Defensively, we've got a long ways to go. You know, it's too scary to play night in and night out just trying to outscore people. So we've got to do a much better job on the defensive end, particularly in the post area. When we've faced some better post players, we've really, really struggled to slow them down. And so that's an area we got to, you know, really pick it up. And it's not just Ty that's got to pick it up. Our perimeter guys got to get down in there and help things out. And, you know, at the same time, be able to get back out and cover that three-point shot. But that's one area that I'm concerned with.
Yeah, it is always dangerous trying to outscore teams. It may make for entertaining basketball, but at the same time, I mean, 67 points to Grantsville, 62 to South Summit. Where's a point gauge, Coach, of where this team needs to be as far as what you guys are giving up per game? Is that a number that you think about?
No, it really isn't. You know, we're point differential is more where I'm looking at. And you know, we're going to score a lot of points. I mean, when we're shooting the ball well, we're aiming for 75 points and trying to hit that mark. So that gives you a little bit of leeway on defense. But on a given night where you're not shooting the ball well and you're only going to get 50, then you've really got to do something on the other end. And you know, we haven't been in that situation other than down in Richfield a couple of games. And so we can lull ourselves to sleep and count on scoring points like that. But, you know, that's a dangerous way to play, and that's who we are. You know, we're just not a lockdown defensive team, and we're not a team that can just come down and grind it out and overpower teams. We've got to play that way, and that's our best asset. And so far we've gotten away with it, and I hope we do through the second half of the season.
Yeah, and I guess analytically speaking, when you guys are producing offensively at such a high rate, you're also creating a higher number of possessions for the other team as well. I mean, that's an interesting dynamic in itself.
It is, you know, and I think it's a trade-off. But like I said, that to me, that's the way we have to play. That's what we are. That's who we are.
Our guys are you know, our best assets, our quickness and our shooting, and to take advantage of that, it's going to be a high possession game. And our guys have bought into it, and they play energetically and excitedly. They're running to those spots on the floor, and our drivers are getting into the paint and creating, you know, some separation between the defender and our three-point shooter. And that's, as a result, we're getting good looks at the threes, and so far we've knocked them down. And like you said, it's fun to watch. You know, everybody I've talked to that's come to our games just enjoys the game because it's an up-tempo game and a lot of guys flying around the court and a lot of shots going in the air. And it's, you know, it's not a grinded out, you know, low scoring affair. We're going to get up and down and we're going to make a lot of mistakes, but we're going to make some shots too. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it definitely is. Coach, I always appreciate you making time. Best of luck against Union. And I know we'll talk again real soon.
Sure enough. Thanks for all you do, Jordan.
Definitely my pleasure, Coach. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to move over, talk national. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
Many people believe that baby teeth don't matter because they're just going to fall out. The truth is, baby teeth do matter. Good dental health in children fosters good nutrition, aids in speech development, builds self-esteem, and enables children to learn better in school without the distraction of dental pain. Dr. Markham and Dr. Lund with Price Pediatric Dental are here to make sure your child's dental health is in check, all while making it a comforting and inviting experience. Call Price Pediatric Dental today to get your child on the road to good dental health. 637-9590.
Polaris, Yamaha, Can-Am, Arctic Cat, or Kawasaki. It doesn't matter which side-by-side you think is the best. Bent Metal Off-Road is the best for custom outfitting of your machine. Go to BentMetalOffroad.com.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'm here to brag a little bit about some of the amazing students we have representing the college. I'd like to recognize our volleyball, softball, and soccer teams for the time and service they're giving to our local elementary students by helping with reading programs and other school programs. Thank you, student-athletes, for being role models to our youngest community members and for helping to make the future a little brighter because of your efforts. For more stories about the incredible student body we have here at USU Eastern, see our website, usueastern.edu.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
Sutherland's After Christmas sale is going on now, but only while supplies last. All remaining winter jackets are only $12.99. Pocket-sized LED flashlights are $6.99. Get lightweight, portable 1,000 lumens LED work light only $14.99. Plus, save 15% off all in-stock space heaters. Keep your pipes safe from freezing this winter. With heat tape, choose from 5 different lengths, all on sale. Remember our feathered friends this winter. Get 20-pound bags of bird food for only $7.99. Don't miss Sutherland's After Christmas sale.
Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, adjacent to Castleview Urgent Care, will open this fall. At Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, they offer home delivery as well as a convenient drive-through window. The pharmacists and pharmacy techs at Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy are there to help you get your prescriptions filled and make sure you understand how you're supposed to take it to get you on track to better health. Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, great service with a smile.
Hi, this is Jason Kidd. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 750 AM.
7 new sports show coming to KOAL. Sundays, you're going to be able to listen to Jonas Knox and Brady Quinn. I like that show an awful lot. You ever listen to it?
Yes, I have. I love those two. Jonas Knox is awesome, and Brady Quinn is your boy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fantastic. That's coming up on Sundays here on KOAL, so it'll join the already loaded sports show. I mean, Ron Barr is terrific. Sports byline, but it's a different kind of sports talk. You know, you're getting your... It's not as much opinionated.
It's more focused on the interview part, getting to know the athletes.
Which I like an awful lot. You got Drive Time Sports, which mixes up local and national. Now you'll get Knox and Quinn. Looking forward to that. Travis, I want to talk college football because that's what's big right now. This did kind of steer me off a little bit, but Johnny Manziel. I haven't heard that name in a while.
He's back, huh?
The Canadian Football League has approved Johnny Manziel for a 2018 contract. They made this announcement today. Now, the CFL's rights are owned, his CFL rights are owned by the Hamilton Tigers. The Tiger Cats, excuse me. I didn't know this up until having some conversations with some other media members. A lot of my media friends pay attention to the CFL. I do not. But I do know that the Hamilton Tiger Cats own the rights to Johnny Manziel. The announcement does not necessarily mean that he's going to play in the CFL in 2018, but the league's decisions is kind of based around background checks, some of the work that he has done to kind of get his name right, get his head right. It all kind of stems from an investigation back in 2016. So the Tiger Cats have 10 days to make an offer to Manziel or trade his rights, according to the league. If neither happens, he would be a CFL free agent. Would you watch a CFL game that features Johnny Manziel?
I probably would.
That interests you enough.
I'm intrigued to see what he has left and what he can bring.
Do you ever think that Johnny Manziel's skill set translated to the NFL?
No. But he's the last Browns quarterback to win. So what does that say for the Browns franchise? Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's the last quarterback to win for the Browns.
That can't be right.
We'll have to look into it. 20 season. Did they win? How many games did they win last year?
Well,
because they haven't won this year.
As terrible, as terrible as that sounds, you may be right. We're going to have to do some checking on that. The last quarterback to get a win is the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is the last starting quarterback for the Browns to get a win.
Man, now I gotta go back and look this up now. You may be right. You may be right, because they did get a win last year. They went 1-15 last season. Man, I don't know. You could be right. I don't know. That's something that we're going to have to go look up. Nonetheless, I'm with you. I would watch Johnny Manziel in the CFL. And again, I'm not a huge CFL guy. I know the rules are a little bit different. The field's a little bit longer. I get that. But yeah, I would watch. I would definitely have been intrigued enough. You're wrong. It was Robert Griffin III was the last to get a win for the Browns.
Is that the home game? So was he the last quarterback on the road?
I don't know about that. I'd have to really go back to look at that one. That was a home game for Robert Griffin. The Browns historically have just been terrible over these last few years. Last road win for the Cleveland Browns. I don't know how we got on this topic.
McCown.
The last road win for the Cleveland Browns was 2015, October 11th of 2015, on the road against the Baltimore Ravens. They won that game 33-30. And as far as the starting quarterback goes, it was Josh McCown.
So up to the point of Robert Griffin III, Manziel, and then Robert Griffin III, G's. Browns are terrible.
They've had one road win since October 11th, 2015. That's terrible.
It's a bad franchise.
I didn't realize how bad they were. But again, didn't want to stray too far off from the original point. Johnny Manziel in the CFL. Yeah, I would definitely give that a go. I was going somewhere with this quarterback conversation. I was getting somewhere with it.
Sorry.
You're fine. You're fine. We learned. We did a little show prep on the show. That doesn't happen too often. But let's talk about Josh Rosen. And you and I briefly talked about this yesterday. And the idea of Josh Rosen not playing for the Cleveland Browns. Again, they've locked in at the number one spot. You know, you got the kid from Wyoming, Josh Allen.
Who Cleveland is loves, from all indications and reports, that they want to draft him number one overall.
No, they don't.
They're just smoke screening.
Nobody wants to go any other way. Anyone who needs a quarterback in this draft wants Josh Rosen.
You have to take Rosen.
You have to take Josh Rosen. But for the sake of the argument, would he pull a stunt similar to what Eli Manning did and refuse to play for the Cleveland Browns? Could you see Josh Rosen going that route, forcing Cleveland, who, again, we can talk about the Browns here in just a second, because they are in a very good position in this draft, but can you see Rosen pulling that stunt?
Yes, because he's a different breed. This kid's different. He's wired differently. He's outspoken. He doesn't care what people think.
Well, he really doesn't. He proved that at UCLA. At some point, the Browns have to take the best player available, and if they need a quarterback, they need a quarterback, let's be honest. I think first, if I'm the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, and you know you have the number one pick. And don't forget, they bought a pick. They could have the fourth or fifth pick in this year's draft as well, because remember, they bought the Houston Texans pick for Brock Osweiler in the second round as well. And then they've also acquired another first-round pick. I can't remember where they acquired this first-round pick, but they bought a pick from the Texans as well. So they have done their work to load up in this year's draft, which was part of the reason why I didn't agree with Sashi Brown getting fired to begin with. But I think you've got to search around to see if there's an established NFL quarterback that maybe you can make a move for, a younger established NFL quarterback, maybe someone like an Andrew Luck. Because you take a risk on an Andrew Luck who has had shoulder problems, move one of your first round draft picks for him. Is that something that Indianapolis would entertain?
I think the Colts would.
You think they would at least entertain the idea? Yeah. I'm not crazy by saying the Browns could call up, include one of their first-round draft picks, and maybe make a deal for Andrew Luck. Is that possible?
It's not crazy, as it sounds, because who knows if Andrew Luck ever plays again. So if you're the Browns, you take the risk. If you're the Colts, you kind of want to move on, and then you're going to get a quarterback anyways.
Right, because the Colts are going to have a top three pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, so you could have 3-4 or 1-3 in the second round. Who knows?
Something. I mean, I think if I'm the Cleveland Browns, it's something that I would look at because they need a quarterback. They have to stop wasting draft picks on quarterbacks. That's something that this franchise has done.
You got to pump some life into that franchise.
You have to. And I just think that the idea of Andrew Luck coming to Cleveland, I'm just throwing that name out there. It's something that if the Browns could make a maneuver for, or at least entertain the idea, I think it's something that you have to consider. But again, they have another draft pick in the first round. If it's not Josh Rosen, if he does pull this stunt, because he hasn't even declared for the NFL draft yet. I believe he will.
Yeah.
But he hasn't declared yet for the NFL draft. Neither is Sam Darnold. Lamar Jackson, we know, is going to be in this draft. Baker Mayfield, we know, is going to be in this draft. If you were the Cleveland Browns, which one of these quarterbacks would you circle and say, okay, that's our guy? Right now, based off what you've seen, we haven't gone into the combine. We haven't gone into the interview process. They have the number one pick. These are four college quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson's about to wrap up his career in Louisville. We know that Josh Rosen is done in UCLA. He did not play in this game just the other night. Wasn't cleared from a concussion standpoint. We know what Allen brings to the table in Wyoming. He has the physical stature. His career is done, and Baker Mayfield's getting ready to go into the college football playoff. Out of those four kids, which one would you circle on if you're the Cleveland Browns?
Josh Rosen. He's smart. He makes all the throws. He's the quarterback that thrives in this league. That's the quarterback that I want.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
Baker Mayfield.
I'm iffy on Mayfield.
Yeah, I don't like the size. He kind of reminds me of Johnny Manziel a lot.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm really, really not sold on
Mayfield. Lamar Jackson could be Deshaun Watson 2.0.
Could be. I think he's a top 10 pick. I think ultimately we have four quarterbacks go in the top 10. Well, maybe that dips down to three now that the Niners have traded for Garoppolo. But all in all, I mean, this is an interesting storyline. Would you stay or would you go if you're Josh Rosen? Chip Kelly's coming in. He's not staying. He's not. This kid was going to leave UCLA at the earliest possible point, at the earliest he possibly could. He was going to leave.
Yeah.
And bringing in a new head coach kind of solidifies that.
No one's going to pass up being the number one overall pick.
Okay, so another kid that hasn't wrapped up his college football career just yet, but he's about to, and I've said this throughout the entire season, I think it's a shame that nobody really talked about Lamar Jackson as far as the Heisman Trophy goes. I thought that was a shame because I thought that this kid played really, really good football. And on Saturday, we're going to get one last look at Lamar Jackson, a kid, again, that won the Heisman last season, put up terrific numbers this year. You just compared him to maybe Deshaun Watson 2.0. I don't hate that comparison. I think he's more athletic than Deshaun Watson. But he completed over 60% of his passes, threw for 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. On the ground, he runs for another 1,500 yards and 17 touchdowns. I think with today's game, you need a mobile quarterback, or at least a quarterback that can sustain a lot of blows in the pocket, especially if you're going to go to a team like Cleveland or New York. Lamar Jackson has more to gain and more to lose, I think, than any other quarterback going into a bowl game. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he was a victim of his own success last season based on this year. I could see this kid going number two. I could see this kid falling out of the top 10. I think this kid needs a good performance in the bowl game, and I think you put him right up there with Josh Rosen in the conversation. I think it's a shame that he's been overlooked to the point that he has this year.
There's a team in the top seven that I think if he's there that they're going to take. And it's a team that needs a quarterback, and that's the New York Jets. They're in the top seven. If you're not going to get one of the quarterbacks of Rosen, Darnold, or Allen, Lamar Jackson makes the most sense.
Yeah, but you know who really hurts their chances of drafting one of the top three quarterbacks? The Broncos.
The Broncos right ahead of them.
Yeah, because this is something, this is another conversation that around here it's a big topic. You know John Elway is not going to stand for this type of play.
No.
You know that. He's not going to stand for this type of play.
And Denver holds the tiebreaker right now. They play the Chiefs on Sunday, and the Chiefs are starting Mahomes, so the only thing going to the Jets' favor is they're going to New England, and that's who the Chiefs
play. Broncos aren't winning on Sunday. The Broncos
I will say the Broncos
Sunday.
Win Sunday.
No, they're not going to win on Sunday. This organization is too smart. The Bronco organization is too smart to put themselves in position to screw up a potential top six, top seven draft.
I can
too
hope.
Smart. Too
because
smart.
I want Lamar Jackson on the Jets.
I'm sure you do, but let's be honest. If you're looking at front offices, whose front office would you rather have?
Oh, Denver.
I don't even think. Look, Denver's got one of the best front offices in the NFL. Look at what John Elway's been able to accomplish. They're not winning this weekend. They're not winning.
I'm putting on my Bronco hat and rooting for them Sunday.
Go ahead. They're not going to win. They're too smart to screw that up.
And that's what I'm hoping for.
John
they
Elway
screwed up in a good way.
I think first off, I think Denver looks for a new head coach next season. And I don't know how we got on this topic, but that's okay. They're too smart. The front office is too smart to screw this up. Elway has a plan. He always has a plan. I'm not even a Bronco guy. I'm just looking at things realistically. Yeah, the Broncos are not going to hurt their draft chances by beating Kansas City on Sunday. The game means nothing for either team.
You're probably right.
And
we
too
will
smart.
See.
Too smart of a front office. We got a break for just a moment. We'll come back with the final touches on this edition of the show.
Feeling stressed out lately? It might be because of your slow internet connection. According to recent studies, delays in loading web pages and videos increase our heart rate and produce a level of stress equivalent to watching a horror film. Let Emory Telcom help reduce your stress level. With eFiber from Emory Telcom, you'll get the highest internet speeds available. Internet speeds up, stress levels down. Fast downloads and TV like no other. Lower your stress level today and call Emory Telcom 613-9605.
BentMetalOffroad.com. It is the only name you need to know for customization of your side-by-side, cages, windshields, seats, bumpers, or performance products. See the possibilities at BentMetalOffroad.com.
The White Rogue. The Black Rogue.
I sense great conflict in you. If it helps, it also comes in gray.
It's the final days of Nissan's Master the Drive sales event. Hurry in for your last chance to save big. Take on today. See Star Wars The Last Jedi now playing. For a limited time, save up to $12,910 on the 2017 Nissan Titan XD. Offers end January 2nd. Shop ChooseNissan.com and your local Nissan dealer. Nissan, innovation that excites.
For well-qualified buyers, 12,910 on 2017 Titan XD, 8,500 cash back, 1,760 Platinum Reserve Bed Utility Package Savings, 1,000 Loyalty or Conquest Cash for qualified customers, and 1,650 average dealer discount. Dealer sets actual price. Take from new dealer stock. See dealer or call 1-888-858-8319 for offer details.
November is National Adoption Month. Each year in Utah, more than 600 children are adopted from foster care. Are you looking to expand your family? Consider foster care adoption. Utah Foster Care provides free classes and ongoing support groups throughout your parenting experience. Foster parents can be married or single. You can rent or own your home. And the children you care for may come from right here in your own community. Adopting from foster care is a meaningful way to make a difference in the life of a child. An added benefit is that it's less expensive than other avenues like private or international adoption. I'm Kobe Prettyman, and I have two wonderful children who are in my home through foster care adoption. I would love to answer your questions to see if foster parenting is right for you and your family. Call me at my price office at 636-0210 or go to utahfostercare.org. Share your heart, foster a child.
There was a day when you could gather your employees around a table for a morning staff meeting, pull out a box of donuts, and everyone got excited. Well, sorry, boss, it just isn't working anymore. We've discovered Big Mo's breakfast menu with a choice of several homemade breads for toast, eggs cooked up just how I like them, and the pancakes. So delicious. Dare to change things up to get your staff's attention and have your next morning meeting at Big Mo's. Friendly service, delicious food, and great prices. Find them on 700 East in Price.
This is John Wall from the Washington Wizards, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buskerings on KOAL 750 AM.
Wall shoots over Bayless. Dagger! John Wall with a career-high 47 points.
Speaking of John Wall, see his latest comment about what the Wizards do when they go out and play against bad teams?
No.
Okay. They defeated Atlanta 113-99. That was yesterday. Atlanta's now 9-25. John Wall said that when the Wizards go up against bad teams, they only play for stats.
Oh, boy.
He says, we talk about it. Quote, we say when we play these teams that are not above 500 or not one of the great teams, we go out there playing for stats. It's as simple as that. We can see it. I think we all can see it when we play. And the Wizards are 19-16. They lost to the Hawks. Excuse me. They lost to the Hawks last night. They're 19-16 after losing to the Hawks. That doesn't necessarily vibe right. Like, if you're a Wizards fan and the Hawks, who are terrible this season, beat you by 14 points, that doesn't necessarily vibe right. Like,
no.
That's a problem.
That's why this team's never going to go anywhere with John Wall as their leader.
Is he not a leader?
He's not. That's Bradley Beal's team.
Well, it's not Scott Brooks' team.
No, they've lost to the Hornets, the Mavericks, the Lakers, the Jazz, the Nets. They've lost to some really bad teams.
And I don't think that John Wall was saying it to be funny. I don't think that John Wall was saying it. I think he's being factual. I think he was part of the problem with the Washington Wizards this year. They're 10-6 at home. They got a losing record on the road. In conference play, they're 9-9. They've beaten some really good teams. They've lost to some really bad teams. I think he was just flat out saying that there are individuals on this team that go out there against bad squads and have it in their mind that they are going to score 25 to 30 points, and that's a problem. I think that's what he was saying. Like, I don't think that John Wall was saying it was right. I think John Wall was alluding to the fact that they have struggled against bad teams because individuals on that team go out to play for statistics. That's the way I took the comment.
I hope that's the way it was.
You question his leadership, and you followed John Wall's entire career.
And love him.
I think that has been part of the problem, maybe immaturity from John Wall. And the Wizards have been close. I don't think they have the right guy leading the bench, first off.
No, it's a reach of a hire.
But at the same time, that's a problem. Like, that's a massive problem. If you have guys openly admitting that they are going out to play for statistics, yeah, you have some problems, and there's no way I would even remotely consider that team a player in the Eastern Conference. Out of time on this edition of the show. We will be back to do it again tomorrow. We are going to talk some college football, more college football. We'll gear up for the New Year's Day games, the opening round of the college football playoff. Can't get enough of the college football world at this particular time. Plus, we'll talk some NFL as well, because we're getting down to week 17, and I'm telling you, the Broncos will not win on Sunday.
Let's go, Broncos.
They will not win on Sunday. Out of time today. We'll be back to do it tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We're out.
Serving Eastern Utah for over 80 years. 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL. Price.
Two.